Welcome back to another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, coming to you from Xfinity Studios at Winter Park with producer Mike Hiris by my side and with a guest who you all know, former Vikings linebacker Ben Lieber joins us to talk Vikings and talk draft. Hey, Ben.
What's up, Wobby?
Nothing. We're getting closer and closer to the draft, and that's good news for everybody. Two extra weeks leading up to it, which for some of us is kind of fun because it's work and keeps me employed, and I like to get deep into it and get hardcore, and it's fun, but some people are sick of it, and they want to get right to the draft. I don't know where you stand and all that, but that's kind of where we are.
No, I'm old school. I think moving the draft, quote-unquote, supposedly because of the Rockette show and Radio City Music Hall, I think was a little bit of a cop-out.
You're such a cynic.
I'm a little bit of a conspiracy theorist, I think, when it comes to especially the NFL when they want to monetize everything. Yeah, I don't like it. So, again, I'm old school with that whole notion because I think it's important to get these kids in here, the kids that can come in. Mm-hmm. Because of early graduation or some of the way their schedule works out, get these kids in there at least for an orientation period, a weekend where it's just rookie mini camp, kind of like what I went through. You get indoctrinated with the playbook. Mm-hmm. You get to know the coaches, even if it's just for like 72 hours. And you come in and you get your feet wet a little bit. So then when you actually do come and check back in and do the running, the lifting, and you get back into the OTAs and the regular mini camps, you're not as shell-shocked. Mm-hmm. And having a chance to get a playbook in your hands, take it home, digest as much as you can on your own, in 2 weeks' time, that can make a world of difference. Because keep in mind, when we get to training camp, in 10 days to 2 weeks, your playbook is 100% in.
Right, yeah.
And I know that you're not going to hit the playbook as hard as you would at home, but at least you can get to know, okay, the first four installs of OTAs, I'm not just being thrown in. I actually kind of know what's going on.
Yeah, yeah. It's a different structure and setup. And then for the Vikings this year, throw in the whole new head coach, new staff thing, you know, and it's kind of a new landscape for everyone here around Winter Park. But you know, we're getting there. If we had you in on Monday, April 28th last year, we'd be talking about the picks the Vikings had already made.
That's right.
But this year, we're going to talk about the picks we haven't made yet and who we might pick, which is actually appropriate because you're going to be part of the Miller Lite Vikings draft party at the convention center.
Correct.
On stage with PA and Bursich and Charge and all those guys. I bet you're looking forward to that.
I am looking forward to that. It was fun last year and didn't know what to expect. I know what to kind of expect now this year.
Yeah.
So hopefully it'll be even more comfortable and a lot more fun to go out there on stage and see these crazy fans, man. I mean, it's not – I've been a part of it a few times as a player, you know, just to do that autograph parts of it. But you pretty much just kind of get out of there because it gets a little hectic. So I've never actually been to the draft party like I was last year. And it's a pretty intense experience with a lot of, you know, fun fanatics, people that truly bleed purple. And it's a lot of fun to be around.
It was April 28th of 2007 was the first round of the NFL draft that year, and the Vikings drafted Adrian Peterson. You were already on our team.
Uh-huh.
What do you remember about that time?
You know, not much. You know, I've said it before, as far as players go, we don't pay attention to the draft as much.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of players that do. You know, I'm going to guess like the Corey Chavises of the world that when he played, you know, because of what he does now, he really enjoyed the draft and that process. But there are a lot of guys that don't, and for obvious reasons. They don't want to know what their fate is watching TV where a team goes out and drafts a guy in their position, and then you know at that moment, all right, you know, I'm getting replaced or I see the writing on the wall. You just don't want to see it so up close and personal. And so, you know, a lot of guys just, hey, I'll read about it in the paper and I'll hear about it on Twitter. So I don't remember much about that draft. And I wasn't really in a position because I was new on the team with the contract. I knew they weren't really going to draft a guy for my spot, but it was still just ingrained in me. Like, I'll figure it out who they have when they come in. So I don't remember much. I didn't know that there was a whole collarbone issue with Adrian. And we played it perfectly, I guess, with the whole PR stuff. So he eventually fell to us, and it was great.
And at that time, the draft party was in the field house, and Adrian was falling, and the Vikings were on the clock, and the field house was chanting APAP, and then Goodell announced it, and the place went nuts. You know, that's my memory of it. And I'm, you know, on draft day or draft night, I'm at Winter Park with the rest of the guys in the studio working from here.
Yep.
We don't actually go to the draft. So right before, you know, when the Vikings go on the clock, I like to leave my desk here in the studio and go into the field house and watch the fan reaction to who we pick. Mm-hmm. I don't get to do that this year because you guys are going to be down at the convention center. I'll be stuck here. But yeah. Everyone feels so badly for me. I know it. All right, so let's talk about this draft. And not the running backs, not offensive players. Let's talk about defensive players because you played linebacker for us, and you have a good eye for that. You know, a lot of people linking the Vikings to linebackers. Obviously, a lot of people linking us to quarterbacks too.
Yep.
But also linebacker is another popular spot. What's your surface level observation about the 2014 class of linebackers?
You know, I see a lot of pass rushers. I see a lot of guys that will fit in really nicely to 3-4 systems at really both the middle and the outside backers, but predominantly the outside guys. If you're looking at some of the top five type of guys, a lot more rushing going on in college.
Yeah.
And I don't see for Coach Zimmer's philosophy and his linebackers and the way he likes to play his defense, I'm not sure outside of Khalil Mack, who seems just like a can't miss type of prospect in any system, there is a guy that really makes sense for the Vikings because we're not a 3-4, and mm-hmm. We don't need our linebackers to pass rush and have their ability to flip their hips on the outside and do that sort of thing. We just need some guys that can make some tackles in A and B gaps, can get off blocks and be run stoppers first, and that's what they're looking for. And I don't know if there is a guy in the top five linebacker core that would fit us.
Okay, so when you talk about fits for the Vikings, you know, we have Audie Cole and Michael Mahdi coming back from last year's team. We've re-signed Jasper Brinkley, who you know very well because you were teammates with with Jasper. To me, those guys are run and hit against the run guys, exactly what you were talking about. But let's talk about how often teams are in nickel these days. You know, they're sub packages.
Yep.
So now when you're talking about what you might need out of a linebacker in sub packages, because if you take a linebacker early or early in the draft, not just first round, but first couple rounds, you know, you want that guy to be able to play 40, 50 snaps, which means he's going to have to play in sub packages. So what kind of skill set are you looking for in that type of linebacker?
Well, then it becomes much more how comfortable are you in space? And I think that term gets used a lot, but I don't think people really understand what it's like to be out there in space and feel comfortable. It's a feeling that you feel very naked, very vulnerable. So who's the guy that can handle the vulnerability of being, you know, 10 or 12 yards off the guy that you're supposed to be looking at as far as your key, but also have the awareness of holding off a curl or a dig or some sort of route behind you by a one or two receiver? That's talking about being comfortable, because a lot of guys, if you're responsible for, you know, let's take a guy in the flat, for example, you see the running back go out to the flat, that's your guy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you just don't jump that guy. You can't just go run up and say, well, I'm going to cover my guy because he's my responsibility. And a lot of times in these zones, you have to hold off what's going off behind you, knowing that if they do throw it to that guy, you're going to have to make an open field tackle. And that's where you feel vulnerable to a missed tackle, to getting juked and getting put on Sports Center and having people look at you and say, no, you can't make an open field tackle. You do that once or twice and it gets in your head like, man, I got to clamp down on this guy a little bit more. But now you leave the back end of it open and you leave the corner and the safety in a tough spot. So find a guy that's comfortable playing in space that can make open field tackles. And it's less about really stopping the run and having the ability to use your hat and hands to get off blocks.
Mm-hmm.
It's much more about, you know, getting tackles and having a pass first awareness and approach.
Is this, so, you know, talk about your buddy Chad Greenway then. Is this a linebacker like Greenway? Because it seems to me that Greenway can play in space, that he has that awareness. He studies, he's got good instincts, he understands the game. He's not a simple see and react guy. He's a guy who can think his way. Are you talking about kind of a version of a Chad Greenway?
Yeah, I think, you know, Chad fits the mold, I think, perfectly as far as a nickel linebacker, especially because, one, he has a high motor.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to get, even if he's in a bad position, he can get from sideline to sideline relatively quickly. And he's going to bring that motor all the time. Chad does a great job of, like I said, understanding where he's supposed to be, knowing that, okay, I'm going to use a bad eye to kind of keep track of the guy I'm supposed to be covering. relying on my speed, relying on my athleticism to put my foot in the ground and get downhill and make that tackle. So he can do that. So finding a guy that is like Chad, that has good footwork, good clean hips, a guy that can just move, mm-hmm. and a guy that's just athletic. And maybe it's not the guy that's putting up, you know, 32 reps in the 225, all that, that'd be nice. We're not looking for the big, bulky, you know, heavy run stopping sort of guy. You want somebody a little more fluid, a little more hybrid type of player. And that's why, again, I don't think in the top five linebackers, we're going to find that guy.
Okay. So you got, let's talk about some of the top five linebackers. Cause I think you're looking at Anthony Barr. When I see him, I think of, like a guy who in Dallas's old defense, DeMarcus Ware, a guy like that, an edge rusher, strictly a pass rusher. Khalil Mack, he's going to be gone. All around linebacker. Probably going to be gone. C.J. Mosley, prototypical middle inside linebacker.
Right. Yep.
So let's get past those guys. Is there anyone that stands out to you as, hey, this is the guy I'm talking about? You know, Ryan Shazier from Ohio State, or anyone like that?
I do like Shazier. Uh-huh. I think he's. I think he could be a guy. Although I think he's going to go possibly higher than what the Vikings have, because I don't believe that they're going to go linebacker at eight. So then now you're looking in the second round. Shazier might be gone by that point in time.
Anyone else then?
So then, and I've heard you talk about him. I like him too. Van Noy out of BYU.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I like the way he plays in space. I like his instincts dealing with the quarterback, understanding route combinations and things behind him. I just like the way he's fluid and can move. And to me, he doesn't seem like he panics, which sometimes you can see guys kind of stiffen up and panic a little bit when they're in pass coverage. He doesn't do that for me. And he just it seems like he just has a good football instincts and just kind of a tough-minded kid. So I like him not only for his skill set, but where he could fall in the draft as well.
All right, so let's take a look at a guy like that who you look at this linebacker, Kyle Van Noy, and you say, great in space, can play in the pass game, can get off the edge and rush the passer if we need him. Maybe we can blitz him, whatever. So he's good at that. Is he a guy that you have to kind of learn to play with and work around in the run game? Let's say we're in our base defense, 4-3. We have three linebackers on the field. Is he a guy who can play on first and 10 when you're anticipating run and playing your base defense? Or is he a guy that you're going to have to take off the field in those spots and then maybe you put in Audie or Jasper or Maudie or Hodges? Or how do you view that?
Well, I think he's going to have to do a little bit better job, because I pictured him more as the bubble backer, the weak side linebacker position, the position that I played when I was here in the 4-3. Mm-hmm. I see him filling that role more so than like the pure middle linebacker. I think between Audie and Maudie and Jasper, we have three kind of prototypical middle Mike linebackers. So with Chad on the other side, I believe he could fill that spot.
Okay.
He's athletic enough and, again, comfortable in space enough to adjust out on a number two receiver if he has to. So he has to play in space. And also he's going to have to do a better job of just playing off blocks. Mm-hmm. That's the one thing. That's the one area of weakness that I see is he's going to get challenged a lot with with fullbacks.
Right.
He's going to get challenged with offensive guards. And playing at this level, you're going to be playing a lot better caliber guys and much stronger guys at both positions. Is he going to have the toughness, I think, to go downhill and be a run fitter and sometimes a sacrificial lamb where you're taking on guys knowing that you're not going to make the tackle, but you're going to make it for the Mike linebacker and the guys scraping over top to make the play. So that's where he's got to get better.
Yep, you're talking about first and 10 playing the Packers, and they're in their whatever inverted wishbone or eye formation, and you have to fit Kyle Van Noy to fit a run, and he's got John Kuhn running right at him. And he's got to either take him on or he's got to get around that and make a play. That's what you're talking about. Right?
Absolutely, and especially with that formation – the way they give their tells, they always run away from the tight end in that situation. So when you see fullback lined up to you, you know there's going to be a collision.
Mm-hmm.
And how is he going to step up? Is he going to step up to the challenge and make that sort of play? Either make the play or set it up for someone else to make the play. But absolutely, you're right. That's the sort of plays, and that's what he has to think about. And all the while, think about pass.
Right.
Because that is a tough spot to be in, and I've made many, many mistakes. You see the guard go down, and you see the fullback come at you, but it's play action. But in your mind, you're thinking, I'm gonna hit the piss out of this guy.
Yep.
And you thinking it's a run, and I got to do my job, and it's play action.
Yeah.
And then they dump it right over the top of you.
You know, we were talking before we started recording here, you think that to play linebacker in Mike Zimmer's defense, you got to be a smart guy, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he expects, from what it sounds like, he expects when he runs meetings, he's asking a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. He wants things to be very interactive, which I totally agree with. I think when you have, if you want anybody to learn anything, you have to make sure they're, first of all, paying attention. But then secondly, when you're able to teach somebody else what you're being taught, you learn it so much faster. And it sounds like that's the way he conducts meetings. He's going to call guys up in front of the other players, in front of their peers, up on the grease board and say, draw up your responsibility or draw up what's going on in this play. You know, where are weaknesses and stuff like that. Once guys understand that, that's when you can play great team defense. And if you're not a smart player, I don't believe you're going to play this defense.
So let's say that happens. Let's say at 40, we get a Kyle Van Noy type of linebacker. That probably tells you that we didn't take a linebacker at 8 or wherever we pick in the first round. So let's talk about corners, because I know you and I are going to come at two different angles on corners.
Yeah.
You know, I think by most accounts you have the top four corners: Verrett from TCU, Fuller from Virginia Tech, Denard from Michigan State, and Justin Gilbert from Oklahoma State. All right. I think that the top two are probably Gilbert and Denard.
Correct.
Some people might want to put Fuller in there. But I like Denard. I like him against the run. I think you can play him outside or in the slot. I think he's tough. You like Gilbert.
Correct.
And I'd like you to explain why you like Gilbert.
Well, I like Gilbert because of his – it seemed like he's got a great football mentality, a great football personality. You know, West Virginia, he gets ejected from the game. And I know a lot of people can look at that as a downfall and a negative. But when you've got a guy with an attitude that has 7 interceptions on the year, he has returnability, and he has this mentality where he wants to take things to the house, and he wants to be a playmaker, and he gets scrappy and gets involved in a match, you know, one-on-one where there's a lot of egos clashing with wide receivers.
Sure.
And he gets ejected, I believe, for throwing a punch. You know, as a coach at the time, I'd be very upset. You got to keep your cool. But there's something that's edgy about him that I think can bring a little bit more of an attitude to this defense.
Sure.
And to fit Zimmer's personality, and I think him trying to find an identity to this defense as well, I think he fits perfectly. We haven't had a guy like that really. I can't think of a guy that probably was as scrappy maybe, and even in my time. So you instantly, I think, get a guy with a little bit of an edge. Can he be a little undisciplined? Sure.
Mm-hmm.
But with great coaching, which they have here, I think they can turn his attitude into something very positive, and he really could be a bright spot for this, you know, an otherwise, you know, kind of just not decimated secondary, but a secondary that only has Harrison Smith. And we still really don't know about Xavier Rhodes, how he's going to make the next leap. So there really isn't a pure leader with a lot of depth behind each position, and I think he can fit that role.
From an athleticism standpoint, like if you were going to use all these different criteria and rank these corners, and if one of the categories was athleticism, I mean, Gilbert, there is no question that he would be the guy. I mean,
right. He
is, and I see him as basically exclusively an outside corner. He's not a guy that eventually or even, you know, right away or even eventually you would move into the nickel slot.
Which is why
slot.
I think Verrett and Fuller are more kind of a slot guys in my mind, where Denard and Gilbert are true number one corner type guys on the outside, can play the numbers, can play outside on the red line. And again, with Captain Munnerlyn now on the team, he's another guy that brings a lot of attitude, plays scrappy. He's a guy that I think is really going to thrive in this system.
Mm-hmm.
You move him into the slot, and now he can blitz from the slot. He can do all those versatile things from us as a slot corner. And now you have a really tough, dynamic back end part of the defense with Harrison and said free safety, whoever it's going to be, to really compete in this division.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, you mentioned the secondary and it's changing. Not very good against the pass last year, so there's going to be a lot of change. But I think there are good building blocks there with Harrison Smith and Xavier Rhodes. And you add another first round corner, and now you're starting to move in the right direction. With Mike Zimmer, I think you're going to see a little more man defense. You're reinvesting in the defensive line, and we all know pass coverage or pass defense is about a blend of rush and coverage. And,
absolutely.
You know, I think you had a first round corner and you're really going to be going the right direction. So to get you on the record here, are you okay with Gilbert or Denard, or are you saying Gilbert or bust?
I'm putting everything in Gilbert. I'd be happy with Denard, but if I had a choice between the two,
you'd go Gilbert.
I would go Gilbert.
And the other thing, and you mentioned it, is returnability. Now, we're not looking to replace, obviously, Cordarrelle Patterson or Xavier Rhodes, but the fact that he can do it and was very good at doing it only helps matters when you're talking about
Justin
Gilbert.
More so, it's the attitude that return guys have.
Yeah.
And that's what I look for. It's not so much that do I really want him back there returning kicks? Well, if we had to, yeah, he could do that. He's proven to do that. But we have a couple capable guys already that are taking care of that. So he's more just kind of a for protection if we needed him back there, and competition, because you want to have competition as far as every position. But it's the mentality where he gets the ball in his hands.
It's time to score.
And he wants to score.
Yep.
He wants to take it to the end zone.
Yep.
And that's what you want out of a corner. You know, it's just the icing on the cake. You want to get the interceptions. You want guys that are going to take a few risks here and there and has good ball skills to pick off some of these passes. But once he gets the ball in his hands, his mentality now is, I'm a returner and I'm going to score.
Yeah. Would you let's finish off the discussion on defense here. If the Vikings go to the last level of defense, safety, if the Vikings took a safety in the first round, would that cause you to scratch your head, or would you understand that move?
I wouldn't scratch my head. But if you're going to pass up corner – you know, over safety right now, it would be a little bit of a question mark to me, because I think you're going to get more out of a corner position, that type of player. Because think about how important a guy like Darrell Revis is, and he has been for a few years, even though he's got the whole ACL and all that stuff. All the corners, and just the way the market system plays out, corner is a much more valuable commodity on a defense than safety. Safeties, much like running backs, are becoming a little bit obsolete. They don't get the biggest contracts, and that tells you right there that people don't value that position as highly as some of these other positions. So to me, just based on how you run a defense, the flexibility a good corner can give you, now you don't have to slide. Maybe, you know, if you go with an average corner at free safety, you don't have to shade him one side or the other to protect a corner on the outside. So now you have a shutdown corner on both sides. You got Munnerlyn in the slot. Now you can roam your safeties around.
Sure.
And you can really make those guys shine, even though they're not, you know, maybe top prospects.
Ideal world, perfect world, you have your safeties are interchangeable. But let's say you're not in the ideal world. Do you like Harrison Smith as a free safety roaming ball hawk, or do you like Harrison Smith as a strong safety bringing the hammer in the run game, playing by the line of scrimmage? Where do you think Harrison's best?
Well, I had an infatuation. I still have an infatuation with Cam Chancellor in Seattle, and I, you know, breaking down the Super Bowl in the 2 weeks that we had to break that down, I thought he was going to be the impact player, and he did make a lot of impactful plays in that game. I want to see a Cam Chancellor type of player on this defense, and I think that can be Harrison Smith.
Okay.
So to answer your question, I think he could be more utilized more as a true strong safety, a guy that comes down the box. He gives you more versatility, blitzing off from depth, and can be kind of that joker type of player where you can use him a lot of capacity and not just deep middle of the field. He does have good ball hawking skills to pick off passes, but I think he's much more valuable laying big hits, being the intimidator that, you know, a lot of great defenses have at the safety position.
All right, last question. Let's go full circle, talk about running backs. You know, if the Vikings take a running back in this draft, I don't think anyone would be surprised. Not early, but middle or late. You know, Toby Gerhart leaves. I know you have Matt Asiata and you have Joe Banyard, and that's good, but there's nothing wrong with more competition. What do you think is the type of running back the Vikings would look for? Is it a scat back that North Turner can use on third downs, or is it a true backup running back who can shoulder the load should Adrian become unavailable?
Yeah, it's absolutely the first one with the scat back idea.
Okay.
You know, it's no secret that Adrian is just not going to be an every down type of back. He hasn't proven to have the most reliable hands, although he does catch some balls here and there. But in this offense with North Turner, the way he likes to use his running backs, I would think you'd have to go more of a pass catching scat back guy that can use out in space and is comfortable catching the football.
Cool.
And, you know, maybe you develop the in between the holes running styles and get him to do that and just be serviceable. But first and foremost, he has to catch the ball in the backfield.
What's the last song you downloaded on your iPod?
Oh, geez, it's been years. I don't know.
It's been years since you downloaded a song on your iPod?
Yeah.
Are iPods out of date now? I've never had one.
You know, They might be a little bit out of date.
Really? What do they have now?
I haven't used an iPod in a long time.
What? How do people listen to music now?
I guess it's on their phones, right?
Oh, okay. Well, what's the last song you downloaded on your phone?
I don't know.
Oh, you're an AM guy. No, KFan's an FM. You should be an FM music guy.
I love music, but I just don't download a lot. If I'm at home and I'm working out, or if I'm in the garage or something, I'll put on iHeartRadio and just find a station.
Cool.
My latest thing is like old school 90s. Like
old school 90s.
Yeah. Okay. Like old school 90s rap, I'll say. So wow. It's like a little Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg and that whole thing. It's been great.
Okay.
I'm telling you, it's just hit after hit.
Ben Lieber was not a Dr. Dre kind of guy to me, but I mean, it works.
Oh, I'm a lover of a lot of music. There's a lot of things you don't know about me.
I guess.
I guess so. You know, I give the people at K102 a lot of crap because I don't listen to country in the winter months.
Okay.
I'm a summer country person.
Yeah, I can see that.
So since the weather's turned somewhat out of winter, I've listened to a lot more country lately. So there's been a lot more K102 listening, a lot more country. That's when we get in the summer months where you can kind of kick your feet up and listen to some good country.
Cool.
But I'm a seasonal listener guy. I'll fall out of favor of something and then move on to the next thing.
So you're versatile. Nothing wrong with that.
Exactly.
Well, this is a busy time for you. This is a busy time for you and your family, and it's a busy time to get ready for the draft. So thanks for coming in and chatting
with us,
man.
Anytime.
All right. See ya.
See ya.